Hi, this is Jay Nemron. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. I still haven't changed the name yet. I don't know when I'm going to actually do it. You know, I'm doing what I constantly do with my big server. Well, I call it the big server. It really is. It's really an old antique computer that just looks big because of all the stuff I make it do. You know, I've always toyed with programming my own server so that I can just say that I did it. So that, you know, I'm kind of an all freedom, total control geek freak type of guy, and I like knowing exactly what's going on. I like being able to tinker with it and dink with it and make it my own. So that's commonly what I end up doing is just making this stuff kind of happen like that. pardon me. I've always loved Gopher. Love Gopher. Gopher is a protocol. When I first had my first forays onto the internet back in 1990, somewhere in 1991 or 1992, Gopher was the big thing. The World Wide Web had only just been developed kind of as kind of a university project by some people, some guys with PhDs, and it was pretty closed off. There was a lot of information. A whole lot of universities and government agencies, which were primarily who used, who had the internet back in those days. It really wasn't the commercial beast it is now. It was very much, you know, your university had a networking connection with other computers in the world. And it was mostly other universities and then government agencies, stuff like that. Maybe a huge corporation would have it, but they weren't using it to sell anything for the simple reason that who are you going to sell to? The universities? They already have all their equipment. Anyway, Gopher was that original kind of conglomerated click here to get to somewhere else type of thing. It wasn't really the kind of free-form hypertext transport protocol that HTTP came up with, and then HTML, the way that you had to write your pages, what you had to write your pages in, the markup language. Gopher was very, 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 very simple, but it handled so many things that people needed to have done back then. It made it so that you could easily make kind of a list of things that you wanted to let other people have. It was a really simple publishing tool, and I still like it. I still run a Gopher. There's only probably a few hundred left Gopher servers out there. There's no reason why there couldn't be more. It's not a technological barrier at all. In fact, it's one of the easiest protocols to create. I've always wanted to do that. There's not a crop. There's maybe two or three. Actually, there's only really one that's really kind of widespread use. It's called PyGopher. It's written in Python. It's where the Pi comes from, because Gopher is the protocol, and there's always a D on the end, which means it's a Gopher daemon. And a daemon is what always runs kind of in the background and makes all this stuff work. Oh, gracious. Now I'm always losing my train of thought. If you've listened to any of these at all, and there's hundreds of these now, you'll know that Jay loses his train of thought all the freaking time. It's like, man, where are your tracks running? That your train can't seem to get anywhere? Well, I'll talk a little bit about Gopher and how much I like Gopher because of its simplicity and because you can just slap it up anytime you want to. I have been, most of my struggles with servers is just, it's just that I don't understand the inner workings of them enough to make them behave the way I want them to. So I'm in a position of having to make my own, and I like things that are kind of unified and work well together. I really have always wanted an HTTP server, Gopher server, and email server all kind of bundled into one piece. That way, I can do a lot of things. Management is tricky. I've always played with the idea and like the idea of having a management system work through your email server. You would send commands to an email address, and they would be interpreted and become and they would control your email server, it would control your web server. That's how you'd publish web pages, by actually emailing it to the server. And the server would go, oh look, it's a web page. And it would publish it for you. It would put it into the stack wherever you wanted it. And the actual email message itself could give the command instructions on how you want that to be done. Really, it's really elegant. You don't really have to change anything. You'd use MIME to do it. That would really work great, I would think. It all came from the days before when I first got into this stuff. When I first started doing it on a very, very, very personal basis, when I finally got an email address, and I won't tell you how I did it. It was actually a government email address, and it was given to me for free by a wastewater treatment group. And my whole reason for doing it was so I could get a free email address. So I, for the longest time, I had j_nemro@access.gov was my email address, and I used to get lots of things that way. In fact, I'm still listed that way in some of the big old X400 directory services, even though those are now so outdated it's disgusting, and that's why. An email address for me that's almost 15 years old and that I haven't had access to in about 10 years. All of a sudden now I'm sorry, I've got distracted because the thing popped up on my screen that says that Window Defender just jumped in here and did a nice search, and it found some stuff. I don't know if I like Windows Defender yet. It's one of those things that really, really hides itself, and I'm kind of worried that it's a hunk of spyware, too. You always have to be careful of that. Anyway, I thought that was a really elegant way to take care of it. Email is one of the things that we all get and that we all kind of work with. It's established, it works well, and it seems to be a relatively easy protocol to throw out there as long as you don't worry about the packaging too much. It would only be an SMTP server. I wouldn't put a POP server on it because I'm basically using other reference points in order to get there. If it's going to be Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo or whoever else is out there, I've used Hot Pop for ages. Probably for 5 or 6 years. And it's worked for me excellently. It's one of my few just really long-standing email addresses, opposed to Plateau Telnet, which was something I got through my ISP. And ISPs come and go, but something like Hotmail doesn't. The guy keeps it up. I guess he doesn't get a lot of call. There isn't like 100,000 people wanting to get it because they'd much rather have the ones that are more elegant, like the free email that Yahoo or Hotmail or AOL give out. People prefer that. I don't know why, because frankly it's real kludgy and it does all kinds of things. It clears up spam, but then again, I would just as soon be the spam filter as somebody else. John C. Dvorak, I was looking at his stuff. I was listening to Twit. I've finally gotten down to using my iPod, that video iPod that Wirt gave me. And so I've been grabbing podcasts left and right. Now I went ahead and also put together my own podcast that works with iPod, and I imagine it works with almost every other pod client out there. It's just a normal RSS feed. It's not really that difficult to do. You just have to know what kind of information each individual thing needs. I finally got to the point to where iCast can see it. So, it was pretty good. Anyway, so you would talk back and forth with this server through email messages, which makes a whole lot of sense because you can package things up, you can put attachments on them, you can send it off. If I wanted to add a web page to my web server, all I would have to do is just throw it up there with some metadata, and the server can handle it any number of ways. You can put it up as a web page, and that metadata would just be part of that web page. It kind of helps you get instructions as to up, down, forward, back, whatever. We could even make it more interesting by just having different kinds of data. I always tend to try to go down to the lowest common denominator, which is a Gopher server, and be able to serve up a hierarchy of menus until you actually get to the actual document. I like that, which requires it to have a title, which is the same thing a web page does. It requires it to have kind of a description, an abstract, and how that's spit out as well. And I really would like it to come down that way. It you could have it be a web presentation. I was almost kind of thinking that it might be good for this kind of thing to be almost kind of like a wiki, you know? Depending on the kind of commands you gave the thing, it would store all those, and then it would dynamically generate either a Gopher page or a whole Gopher hierarchy if you wanted to, and a web page. And it would have all these kinds of things too. Kind of a weird cross between a wiki and a Gopher and a web page, just giving you all those kinds of possibilities. Just kind of neat and cool, and I like it. It's groovy. People are already like and have the idea of having things pushed them by email. This thing would also be, you could also set up to do a mailing list, or several mailing lists, hundreds of them if you like. And it could work just like the old Majordomo listserv type software so that it would be really easy for people to sign up for it. So much so that you can have as part of the web server software the ability to kind of have almost a web interface to this thing. That's always what I've kind of struggled with, was all the individual disparate pieces to how you get them all to work together to make kind of a web-based list, which is, frankly, it's a gopher, honestly. When you get right down to it, Gopher can behave that way, too. It lets you be able to expand things, drop them down, be able to do all these things you could do with the web that also works with the Gopher, but that can also make all the rest of these things happen. So you can do all these things in kind of a hierarchy, and it's cool and it works and it's kind of neat. So you try to build kind of a structure that allows this kind of thing to happen. And then all of a sudden, all these things become just a million times more useful. You know, am I going to publish it to the web? I don't know. Maybe, probably. My whole problem gets to be, after a while, what programming language to do it in. You know, probably the most obvious way to do it would be to do it through Perl. There's a couple of troubles with that, just for the sole reason that Perl is always changing. You can't just drop it in a static form. Just drop it in there and have it work. And then the constant need to update the thing because Perl changes. And as Perl changes, you'd have to run other things to make it work. It doesn't bother me. I'm not trying to make a kind of a put together package to make it all work. But, you know, I want this thing to be cool and to be something that I would use that would make my life a little bit easier. I always have my web browser and my email client open, so it makes a whole lot of sense to do it this way. You know, everything would basically be email. Email pages. Email already can kind of pull together its own hierarchical order. It has a subject line. It has a whole lot of things. I need to figure out a way to kind of shove metadata on it. There's all the different little attachments you have on there, but I need a convenient way to be able to shove that stuff up into the email header, for lack of a better word, as opposed to just, you know, letting it fret around down in the guts of the thing. Plus, I want to be able to change things over time as well. So yeah, I think that's the way it would ultimately be. You would actually, you'd actually have a couple of commands in there that you could do, or you could say this takes the place of this other email. And it would take its place in the whole structure. It would become a replacement. Or it would just become an alternate thing. We might have to put kind of a directory sort of structure to it, so that these emails, it'd be really nice if I could keep things in a standard form instead of coming up with some kind of database storage sort of thing. I would just as well rather have a whole bunch of email addresses, and however people approach it, whether it's through the website side or the Gopher side or the email side, they'd be able to access that. And they'd be able to get it. Just really amazing, cool. I like the whole thing. When I started in this stuff, remember when I told you when I started with Gopher, and after that, when I finally got my own personal stuff and I was on the internet independently without having to, you know, piggyback on a college or something. I actually had an account with an ISP. It was a free one, but, you know, it doesn't matter. The big thing that I used a whole lot, because I love downloading files. I was an old BBS person, and this thing created a whole new possibility of being able to download files off of the internet, which was a big, big, big bunch of network of computers that had files to be got. It was called FTP mail. You would go out and you'd try to figure out where these things were. You'd go do an Archie search, and the Archie search would come back with servers that had this particular file on them. And you go to that file, and you go to that server, and if they did FTP mail, and a whole bunch of them did back then, you would send off a properly formatted email to that server, and they would email back to you the file. Now, back then, it was all UU encoded, and I didn't have an email client, per se. All I had was a very, very simple email client. And it made it so that I could take that method, I could cut out all the stuff that wasn't important, and I would get the UU encoded stuff, and I would use my UU decode program, and boom, all of a sudden I would have the file, and it worked. It took several steps, and it wasn't, you know, and most people wouldn't go through those few steps now, and that's why I think it's really good. It's almost like this process, this whole way of doing it, kind of put some security on it, because it isn't because it's complicated, it's because it's too many steps, and people don't like going through steps. That's the first thing they do, is they figure out how to eliminate steps. I do too, let's be honest. Well, I've been talking a little bit about this. I'm going to get back on this subject, talk about it, because I like to flesh it out and make it work and make it kind of a cool thing. And I want to make it happen. This is Jane Emerald. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. Look for the other ones on Quix, Quix.us, either way you want to go, HTTP through the web, or Gopher, using the wonderful Firefox Gopher client. This is Jane Emerald. Have a great day.